Today on the Pastor's Study, the topic of our discussion will be biblical separation. Biblical separation. And what does the term biblical separation apply? Well, it applies to a Christian's separation from the world. If you contrast the rotation of the earth with the movement of the sun, you will notice that they move in opposite directions. And indeed they should, since the sun, the S-U-N, is a picture of Jesus Christ, the S-O-N, as we see in Psalm chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. And the world is an enemy of God, amen, according to James chapter 4, verse 4. Consequently, the Lord's children should move with their Savior in opposition to the world. Now let's turn to, as we begin our study today on biblical separation, let's turn to 2 Corinthians today. 2 Corinthians with me, if you would. And in 2 Corinthians, we want to look at verse 6 and verses 14 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll look at verses 14 through 18. The Word of God says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, according to what we just read in the scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 through 18, Christians are to maintain a separation between themselves in the world. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And to do this, we need to keep from getting yoked up with the world. As we read in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You see, a yoke is a connection between two things so that they move together, amen? Now, the Lord describes five different yokes in this passage for which we need to watch out. If you get hooked up in any of them, you will not be separate in that area of your life. Now, the first yoke that we want to look at is the yoke of fellowship. Now, when you get saved, Jesus Christ made you righteous. Amen? Let's look, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness." See, because you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus, amen, and you've been made righteous because you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus. Look at also one of my favorite verses in the scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 21. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us. And why was that? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ literal sin on that cross at Calvary. I can't explain how it happened, but that's what the Word of God said. He made his Son literal sin. His Son, who knew no sin, was sinless. And the reason for that, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when you got saved, Jesus Christ made you righteous. You know, what a deal we got. We switched our filthy rags of self-righteousness for his robe of righteousness, amen? Now, the world, on the other hand, is unrighteous, amen? That's what the Word of God says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans. Look it with me in Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. As I said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So the world, on the other hand, is unrighteous. And when you have fellowship with unrighteousness, you will be asked to go along with someone to do something that is not right. For instance, you might be asked to lie in a business transaction, amen? And you can't go there, amen? Look at what Proverbs chapter 1 has to say about that. Proverbs chapter 1 with me. And in Proverbs chapter 1, look with me in verse number 10 of Proverbs chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Amen. Don't have fellowship with the unrighteous, with the unsaved, with the world. And this is particularly true in marriage. A Christian should never, ever marry a lost person. Amen. Let's move on to the second yoke there in our passage. And the second yoke is a yoke of communion, which is intimate, which is an intimate association. Amen. The example that Paul gives us for this separation is light and darkness, which are mutually exclusive. Amen. He says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14, and what communion hath light with darkness? What communication hath light with darkness? Now, we know that that is, as soon as you introduce light into darkness, you no longer have darkness. And according to chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12, this world is dark. Amen. And in this dark world, we are the children of light, the Christian. Amen. Looking in Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5 with me, in verse number 8, Ephesians 5:8, we read, Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, talking about before they were saved, before they were in Christ. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Amen. And as long as we are in the world, my friend, our light is to reprove the wicked deeds of the world and not go along with them. Amen. You see, we are the children of light, the Christian, and the world's children are the children of darkness. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a moment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me if you would in verses 4 and 5. We read, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." So we see that contrast there. They're mutually exclusive, light and darkness. The children of the world, the unsaved, are darkness. We are children of light. Amen. And as long as we're in the world, our light is to approve, to reprove the wicked deeds of the world and not go along with them. Amen. Looking in Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light." Amen. Manifest, reveal. Light reveals, exposes darkness. Then one last place in John chapter 3 here. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Look at what Jesus had to say here as we talk about, we contrast light and darkness. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Jesus Christ is the light of the world, is he not? "And men love darkness rather than light." And why is that? Because their deeds were evil. That's why people don't like Jesus Christ, amen? The unsaved, because it exposes them, and it exposes their sin, their darkness, amen. Now let's continue on in our study here on biblical separation. Look at the third yoke here with me. The third yoke is the yoke of concord. The yoke of concord. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15, it says in the Word of God, "What concord hath Christ with Baal?" Now, a concord is a harmonious state of agreement. And the example of this separation is the relationship between Jesus and the devil, who is called Baal here in the verse. You see, they are completely opposed to each other, and their children should be. And when you check the references to Baal, you will find that the devil's children are involved in idolatry, homosexuality, drunkenness, fornication, scorn, covetousness, and lying. And we can't be for these things and be for Jesus. There's no way around it, amen. Notice Matthew chapter 12 with me. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 30, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Amen. And these children of darkness, these children of Baal and the devil himself, amen, they're not with Jesus. They're opposed to him and everything that he stands for, amen. So, as Jesus said, we can't be for these things and be for him, can we? There's no way around it. Now, the fourth yoke that we want to see is the yoke of having a part with. A yoke of having a part with. And then we have to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15 to see this fourth yoke, which is the yoke of having a part with. And we read, "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Like Paul said, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Amen. You see, an infidel is an unbeliever. And his ultimate part is in the lake of fire, is it not? Look with me for a moment in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We read in verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, see, there's the infidel. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen? So we see then that the infidel's ultimate part is in the lake of fire. Our part, amen, the believer, our part is in the book of life and ultimately in heaven, the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, amen? Therefore, a Christian needs to keep from being yoked up with the world, to keep from diminishing his inheritance in heaven. Esau, amen, Esau lost his inheritance because he despised his birthright, and the prodigal son lost his inheritance through riotous living. Amen? Let's turn first to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 with me for a moment. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17, he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He lost his inheritance. Why? Because he despised his birthright. He was an unbeliever, amen. And we saw the prodigal son lost his inheritance through riotous living there in Luke chapter 15 and verses 12 to 32. Now, the last yoke that we want to look at is the yoke of agreement. The yoke of agreement. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, amen, in verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Since our bodies are the temple of God, we cannot have any agreement with idols. And they are the false gods of this world, amen. That's exactly what they are. For instance, the world's idols are movie stars, athletes, businessmen, politicians, military heroes, and musicians. Amen. That's who the heroes of this wicked world are. Amen. And a Christian, my friend, should never know more about the statistics of his favorite sports team than he does about the Bible. Amen. That's right. And it's sad, but many Christians know more statistics about their favorite sports team than they do about their Bible. What a sad, sad commentary. And furthermore, a Christian should never, ever go to a church where there are statues of saints all around. Amen? Now, before we were saved, amen, we were in the world. Now that we are saved, we are to come out from among them. See that in verse 17? Wherefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. We're to come out. Come out from the world now that we're saved. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. But how many Christians, amen, how many Christians today have not separated from this wicked world? That's why they're not being used of God. That's why many people are not getting saved, because there's no testimony. There's no difference. They can't see a difference between how they live and the Christian lives. But there have been many a Christian that has poured hundreds of dollars of booze down the sink, that's busted numerous rock and roll tapes and records and CDs, and thrown out unseemly movies and books. Hey man, I want to share just a bit of a testimony. I did that. You know, soon after I got saved, I grew up in the time of age where we had those vinyl rock albums. Amen. That was the big thing. Today they're tapes and CDs, but back then they were those vinyl albums, and probably many of you remember that are in my age category. Amen. But I remember I got convicted after I got saved. Not because the preacher told me, because the Holy Spirit of God told me I needed to get rid of that stuff out of my house, both my wife and I. Amen. And I didn't want anybody else using it, listening to it. So I took a hammer, and those things were hard, but I broke every single album up that I had and threw it in the trash. And let me tell you, the devil was not happy that night. Because sure enough, that night, that trash barrel, someone set on fire. The fire department had to come and put it out. But that wasn't the end of it. Satan was still unhappy. That same evening, later on, someone set my tool shed on fire out behind the house. Amen. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit speaking to my wife to look outside, and she saw the smoke, and thank God the fire department was able to get here and put it out before there was much damage. Amen. But if you're separate from the world and you mean business, you need to get rid of that junk. You need to get any stuff that's in the house that if Jesus came to visit, you would be embarrassed. Amen. You know, there was a group there over in Acts 19. They had a wonderful testimony. Let's turn there in Acts chapter 19. Amen. In Acts chapter 19, we read, now, Paul's here in Ephesus. Amen. It says, many of them which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they found it 50, and counted the price, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Amen. So here we have a group of people who were into magic, the occult, divination, and all of that connected with it, and they got saved. And they got saved for real. They didn't say a 1, 2, 3, say a prayer. They really got saved. Because here we see their heart. It says, many of them which use curious arts brought their books together. They brought all their books together. And what do? They burned them. They put them in a bonfire and they burnt them up. And it wasn't any small price, because it says here that all the books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Amen. So it wasn't any small price, was it? No, it wasn't. But see, they had separated. They had separated from the world. And they get rid of the junk. They toss it into the fire and they burn it. Didn't matter if it was worth money. They could have sold it and made money, but they didn't want anybody else using that, getting into that wickedness, and they burnt it. Amen. What a testimony. And then we also see many Christians that have gotten saved, their conversation has changed from worldly matters and off-color stories to heavenly things. Remember before you got saved? Probably you liked the dirty jokes, you liked to tell them or listen to them. But now that should be changed. Amen. You want to think about heavenly things, not worldly matters, not off-color stories. And probably what's happened with you and others that have gotten saved, and I know it myself, their old friends either got saved or they left them. See, their new friends are God's children and love Jesus, love the Bible, love hymns, testimonies about people getting saved and doing things for the Lord and answered prayer. Let me share another testimony to you. You know, before I got saved 17 years ago at the age of 36, so you can do your addition, I'm 53 now, and called to preach at around age 40, I was raised Roman Catholic. And I remember as a child, they had what they call the children's mass. It was primarily children, and, you know, mom and pop would send me off to this mass. But I remember I hated to go. I would get psychosomatically ill. I didn't want to be there. I'd get a bellyache or something, and I didn't enjoy one bit of it. And then after that was over, we had to go next door to the Catholic school. I went to public school, but we had to go to the Sunday school over there with the nuns. Amen. I hated it. But you know what? When I got saved, you couldn't keep me out of church. And to this day, I love being in church. I love preaching. I love hearing preaching. I love teaching the Word of God. I love the good old gospel hymns. Amen. And the testimonies of people getting saved and the testimonies to people how God is working in their lives. Now, those that have come out, amen, that are saved, have come out from the world, they are truly recognized as God's sons and daughters. Amen. As he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, the inference here is God can't really be the father that he wants to you to be to you if you won't come out from among the world. And the sad thing is you're missing out on the blessing of not coming out of the world and letting God be the father that he wants to be to you. Amen. You know, unfortunately, when you look at Christians today, you observe a trend toward worldliness. And that leaves little distinction between Christians and the world. And the line of separation is almost gone. Amen. And when you preach on it, people will call you hard, you know, old-fashioned, you're an old fuddy-dud. You know, I'm as old-fashioned as the Bible is old-fashioned. I'm as narrow-minded as that AV 1611 King James Bible is narrow-minded. And I'm open-minded as that AV 1611 is open-minded. You know, often people who profess to be saved don't come out from among them. The world's music, fashion, attitudes, Bibles, you know, the world's perverted Bibles, their methods, their philosophies, and idols have crept into the church, Christian schools, and into the bookstores. And overall, my friends, sorry to say, the trend will continue to worsen until the Lord returns. All I can say is don't go the way of the worldly Christian. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino Cap. Thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.